first report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. Well, somehow it's lost in transition. Because that's something that has to be a revelation. She said, it's impossible. Don't come in here and do that. He said, okay, you don't think God can do it in 12 months? Well, he's going to do it in 9 months. And the next scripture says, and she bore a son. Bada bing, bada boom, got lucky. He came through on that one. No, when it's God's word, it will not return void, but shall accomplish that which he sent it to do. It's not a one-darn bandit. You give me $100 love offer, cha-ching, and I'll prophesy what you want to hear. It said, and the child grew. Vision grew, the ministry grew, that thing you never thought you would have began to grow, that relationship with the Lord, that peace that passes understanding, come on, that it begins to grow. And what's sad about it is I want you to forget the shame and guilt of your past, but every now and then we needed to roll back the curtain like Dottie Rambo said, and remember, had it not been for the Lord, where would I be? None of us have arrived. Nobody got here on our own. Had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord, where would I be? That's why you don't have to be based on a feeling. Just to know it, and you raise your hands, come on, and you begin to thank you, Lord. The child began to grow. And he said he went out to work with his father. Again, this speaks of the next generation. I got to emphasize this right now. I begin to look, the woman with the issue of blood. You've heard me preach that message. It said that she had an issue 12 years. Well, guess what? When she got her issue, the man's daughter was born. Because it said when she got healed, remember he was on his way to the woman's, I'm getting ahead of them, going to somebody else's house to raise the little daughter from the dead. She was 12 years old. Well, guess what? God, the devil can't fight the next generation. Am I talking too fast? Okay, he's scared to say that. Anyway, he can't stop the next generation, but if he can get the previous generation to focus on our issues, we neglect the next generation. And so about time we get our healing, the next generation is dead, spiritually or physically. He's after the seed, the woman. The enemy's at the gate trying to take my sons because we don't value what we have. It's a generation gap, and God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. So he's out there working with his father. And all of a sudden he grabs his head and he says, my head, my head, my head. And can I tell you, that's where the devil's fighting this next generation. It's in the mind. We have a generation now that was born at 9/11. They were born in fear. All they've ever known is fear. All they hear is fear. They don't hear the testimonies of faith. They don't hear the testimonies of truth. Come on. They're fearful. Atomic bombs, nuclear bombs, building walls. They don't know who to believe. And then when they do hear somebody preaching out in the secular world, claim your own truth. When there's only one truth. And his name is Jesus. He's the truth and the way. And so if they come to church and they don't hear about the Holy Ghost, they hear life coach, coffee, come on, tea or prophecy, something just a little kumbaya to get them through the week. They don't hear the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't see sanctification. Come on, somebody work with me. My head, my head, my head. daddy takes him to the mother. Not that the daddy doesn't care, but there's something about your mama when you're sick. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are. You want your mother because she's that comforter. She's the nurturer. That's the Holy Spirit. He's that comforter. You took him to the mother and sat him on her knee, and it says she held him on her knee till noon. I believe she rocked him. I believe she wiped her brow. I believe she did everything she knew to do. And at noon, he died. What do you do when it looks like your miracle died? This woman did something bizarre. You can read it, but it goes against every grain of a good mother. She picked up that lifeless body. She carried the weight of that by herself. Up those stairs. And laid him on that bed. She had to go back through that doorway where she stood 12 years before. She had to enter in. She could have laid there and cursed God. She could have cursed the man of God. She could have gotten mad, tore up the room. She could have had a fit. But she took that lifeless body. She laid him on that bed. And then she did something that nobody told her to do. She shut the door. Sometimes you got to shut the door when it's just you and your circumstances. I said, you got to shut the door. Did I say it was easy? No. You got to cast down those vain imaginations. You got to take every thought into captivity. You can't let your mind go to the worst. You go to the Word of God and quit Googling everything. You go to the Bible and not Facebook. Come on now. You hear me? Come on, you Google something and you've got everything from leprosy to something a dog can only get. Come on. And she came down those stairs. And she had to straighten her clothes. And she goes down there and she goes to her husband. And she didn't go alarming. I don't know, I had to feel like he had a great respect for her walk with the Lord. For when she entered the idea of taking their money and building the room, he did not say no. He worked with her. I don't know if he would be called a man that went to church with her or not. I don't know any of that. We don't know, so apparently it doesn't matter. But she goes to him. This is the Father. Now, probably when he saw her without the boy, he probably thought, well, he must be better. And she said, I need you to get me a driver and a horse. And I need you to get them here. I need the fastest one you got. I'm going to see the man of God. Now this woman, y'all, there's little nuggets here. She had a consistency with her walk with the Lord. Because he said, well, why are you going to church today? It's not, I'm paraphrasing, Sunday or Wednesday. Apparently, she didn't just go when it hit her. She was faithful. Hello? She was faithful. He says, everything okay? She said, it is well. It is well. She didn't say, I'm fine. She said, it is well with my soul. She didn't say it is well with my circumstances. She didn't say, I'm happy with what I'm going through. But she said, I have chosen, basically, it is well with my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. It is well. He got her the driver. She said, you drive as fast as you can and don't let anybody, come on, get you sidetracked. We got somewhere we need to be. So here they come, driving up to where the man of the Lord was. And get a load of this. When she drove up, he told his servant, he said, here comes that Shunam woman. And she's distressed in her spirit. For somewhere there, she let her guard down where she could be real. Come on, you can be real. Faith is not denial. Faith is not denial. You can be angry and sin not. It doesn't mean that you cry, you don't have faith. God put this treasure in earthen vessels, but you got to choose who you can be real with and who you can't. You can't go around, come on, because you're going to get Joe's friends, but she let her guard down. And the man of God saw that she was distressed. She was in that condition. But he said, the Lord has hid it from me. Now, why would the Lord hide that from the prophet? Because there comes a time you have not because you ask not. And it's too easy for somebody else. You got to confess your faults. Confess your sins. Come on. You got to pray. Let the sick call for the elders of the church. We can't always be passing the buck for somebody else to be our little spiritual guru or CT scan. I'm going to say something that may make you mad, but maybe I'm the only one. Don't come up here and say the Lord said you know. I've had people come up to me, how can I pray for you? Lord said, you'd know. They lay hands on me because I don't. Come on. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to just spit something out to serve you. He said she came. She fell at the man of God's feet and she clung to him. Which shows she still honored him. She was mature enough to not let her emotions and her flesh rule how she dealt with things that God called holy. Can't tell you, sometimes we just need a word at the church for people to grow up. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Doesn't mean if I feel like it, if I like who's preaching, who's singing, I will. I will. I choose. And he said, the servant tried to pry her off, and he said, leave her alone. Leave her alone, something's going on. This is what she said to him. She said, did I ask for a son? Did I not tell you I was happy with the way things were? You said, is there anything you needed? Did I ask for this? I guess none of y'all been there because y'all like, I didn't ask for the son. I had resolved, I had quit expecting, because if I didn't expect, I didn't get disappointed. I just sat back, mind my own business, supported other people to do it. But you called me out, it made me vulnerable. I said I was never going to love anything, and I love this child more than I love my own life. I put all my, this in it. Why? Why? Now, I'll tell you what it did to that prophet. Uh-oh. Come on. You've never ministered. You don't know what an uh-oh minute is. Now, I want to remind you, when you feel uh-oh, you got to remind yourself, God called you to preach, not be his attorney. Just simply say, I don't know. Don't say, well, if you'd had more faith. You pledged $500 to my ministry, you too. No, hold on. Sometimes you just say, I don't know. Does this make any sense? Okay, so I'm going to tell you the dynamics going here, okay? We got a generation laying there in a prophet's room with a prophecy was conceived and spoken, but lifeless. We got a generation that conceived it, birthed it, looking at no movement. And where did she go? She went back to where she received it. She took the body to the place, but she went to the mouth that spoke it. Sometimes you've got to go back and say, but Lord, you said. Come on. Now here's where the prophet is. Because y'all going to be somewhere. Either you're the dead one. You're the one that feels like it's already dead. The ministers over here thinking, I knew this day was coming, but I didn't know when. So what day was that? His mind goes back to he was walking with his mentor and served him 40 years. Come on now. 40 years he served. And everybody else was telling him, look, he's going to be gone. You might as well just come over here. Didn't get you. Right before you get your promise that something's going to try to seduce you to come over here, just come over to our church. Just come over to this work. Come on. Just come over here. Just come over. And he said, as the Lord liveth, I'm not following a man. But that man has something that all the coffee shops and all the drama teams and all the big facilities, the world could give me that. But I saw that man on his lowest day, and I wanted what he had. And if I'm skipping too much, just when's the last time, come on, you saw a man or woman of God, I don't care how old they are, and you saw that they had something, you said, if I could just have that kind of faith, a relationship. And if you can't remember, then what do you think about the ones looking at you? Because this man said, I'm going to be leaving here. I'm going to my reward. What would you ask of me before I leave? He said, if I could just have a double portion. Nobody wants a double of nothing. If I could just have a double portion of your spirit. We don't hear those words anymore. We hear, if I could have a church twice as big as yours, if I could get a check as big as yours, if I could drive a car like yours. So when's the last time, if I could have a double portion of your spirit and your integrity and your anointing? And his mentor said, what you've asked is a hard thing, because the key is that you can keep your eyes on the main thing when I'm taking, you'll get it. If you won't get sidetracked, if you won't get offended, if you won't compare yourself, what this one's doing or this one doing, if though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, or if they're all getting mansions or not, if you can keep your eyes on the prize, you'll get it. And he caught it, and what? Immediately he went back and began doing what his mentor did. Well, see, we all want it. Nothing wrong with that. But to get a double portion means there's going to come a day then you're going to have to go farther than the person that led you ever went. When you do that, you've had no mentor. Consider not the former things. For behold, I do a new thing you know not of. There's going to come a day he's going to stretch you. It's easy to follow somebody else's path. It's easier to preach somebody else's message. It's easier to sing somebody else's song. But there's going to come a day you ask for it. And tag you're it. And all of a sudden, Elisha realizes, this is the one that my mentor never did. Oh, no, you didn't get it. He realizes, I've done everything up to this point to the former generation. And now then God is asking me to do something that nobody has ever done. I have not seen nor ear heard. I'm about to step out in deeper water. I'm about to sing a little louder. I'm going to break everything my family's ever done. Come on. I'm about to have to do something I've never done before. So you know what he does? He gives the staff to a servant. He said, here, you go. Here's my business card. Here's my oil. You go do it. Come on, go do it. Go. You're never going to learn until you do it. Hagar can't do this for you, Sarah. He goes, and you know what the woman said? I'm real glad you're sending him. But as long as my soul lives, I won't leave you. He ain't the one that the Lord used. You're the one. I'm sticking with you. So the servant goes and he lays his staff and he said, no, what would Brother Renfro do? Well, first of all, he'd take a step 8 feet long. And we can copy Shambach. Some of y'all don't even know who he is. You ain't got no problem. You just need faith in God. Or we could mimic Benny Hinn. Pick her up, Steve. Pick her up. Come on. You can try to sound like somebody else. Or T.D. Jakes, get ready. But the body didn't respond. Somebody get it. We're at a culture that's not going to respond to yesterday's manna. They need a fresh word. They need a fresh anointing. They're not reacting. We can take the same staff, sing the same songs. There's no life. It's laying there. Woman saying, you said. Well, don't say it if you can't produce. There's a generation out there saying, don't tell me about the good old days. Show me the good old days. Don't show me a God that can heal. Let me experience healing. Don't tell me blinded eyes can see. Open my eyes. Don't tell me these things. Show me the glory of the Lord. We just keep dancing around the same fire every year, talking about the good old days. And this generation said, we want to live it. You talk about the dry bones, you find out why their bones dried up. It said, because they begin to say, our hope dried up. The man of God realizes, I ask for double portions. You know what's happening, Lynn? What's happened, Brother Info? We're at that point. We want it. We've tasted it. If we're not careful, we're going to die critical. I can't die critical. Because it's not up to them. I ask. So the man of God had to go into lifeless, no movement. He shut the door. And it said he stretched his flesh over that lifeless body. And he had to put his eyes on their eyes. I can't get you to have revelation if I won't get revelation. If I have no vision, I can't expect vision out of you. He had to lay his hands on their lifeless hands. Is anybody getting this? Come on. He had to stretch himself out on a dead circumstance. And he didn't hear any amens. He didn't hear any shouts. And he didn't see any movement until he got up and he walked back and forth. And he could have given up. And he thought, this is probably what he felt like when he kept telling them to go look for that cloud and they didn't see anything. He said, go again. So he went back, and by now it's a little colder. Come on, and the body's getting a little stiffer. And he stretches himself out again. And the circumstances are saying, it's too late. Call it. Call it. Call it. But I want to tell you something. God never called me. He never called you. And he never called you to be an undertaker. Come on. He called us to preach a resurrecting word of God. To bring a revival that God would breathe upon these people. Not just to feel it. Go do, Lynn. When you preached it and you sang it, but your circumstances are telling everybody it's not working, you stretch yourself and paced again, and paced again, and stretched himself. How long do you stretch yourself? I don't know. How many times? But you stretch. Instead, until all of a sudden that cold, lifeless, stiff-hearted body began to get warm. And all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but if the dead man sneezed, I wouldn't know how many times he sneezed because I'd be out. I'm just being honest. Y'all can sit there like I wouldn't. Yes, you would. He sneezed once. He sneezed twice. He sneezed three times. Four, five, six, seven, which is the number of God, completion. And then he opened his eyes. And can you imagine, Sean, when that door opened? The man of God walked out, and all of a sudden he moves, and here's that little baby boy. Say, Mama. We got to stretch our faith back out. We have become a generation that just accepts things. What will be, will be. Well, I've reached a certain age. I have to have arthritis. Come on, we've taken on the world's standards for our expectations. And what used to be abnormal for believers to accept is now our normal. And the things of God are abnormal. We've taken on the world's mindset. We don't stretch ourselves to believe anything. We've lost our hope. We're supposed to have a double portion. And I'm afraid we've all become like the young boy. My head, my head. Whose knee is the world going to bring them to? Who is going to be taking the most impossible situation and lay them back on a bed of promise? Who is going to get their minds renewed. And in the midst of the storm, say, it is well with my soul. And where are the Elishas who waited 40 years? Who went from Gilgal? Who went through Bethel? Who went from Jericho? Who crossed the Jordan? Who caught the mantle? Who put the salt in the barren waters? Who witnessed the great men and women of God? Where's the church? And I hear the Lord saying, don't bury it yet. If you think I came this weekend to shovel dirt on you, you're mistaken. And if you think I think I'm going to come in here with some firecracker sermon to be your fibrillator, you're wrong. Because it's not by my might and it's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And I don't want you to feel the breath. I want you to breathe the breath of God. Whose report do you? Got to stretch ourselves. When you stretch something, it hurts. Especially when you stretch and you don't see any results. I don't know who I'm talking to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I would dare say one out of three cannot say it is well with your soul. We have anxiety, depression, panic attacks, fear. But he said he would keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. As a man thinketh, so is he. Let the same mind that be in Christ Jesus be in you. Lynn, is your voice okay right now? You can sit right there. Y'all can, I want you to do the one Psalms. The altar is that bed where you received. The gift of salvation. That altar is where you first saw the light. And the burdens of your heart rolled away. That altar is where you got to go back. Come on, you got to go back. And I'm not going to beg you. You may need to come to the Lord. You may be the one that needs life back in you. I don't know, but I just hear the Holy Spirit right now just so loud in my head saying, tell him to come. Tell him to come. Tell him to come.
You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Stretch yourself.
Yeah.